Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Join the Chad Duke Show on Thursday, September 5th at Monk's Barbecue in Percival, Virginia for a football kickoff watch party. Coach Jay Gruden will be live in the building. Monk's will be open late for all solid dudes that want to watch the first game of the season. The Kansas City No Lips versus the Baltimore Hey There Boys. You will have four chances to win a Chad Duke Show custom Yeti tumbler for free. We will also have the new full line of CDS Show merchandise, including brand new crew neck sweatshirts, koozies, magnets, and t-shirts. Food and drink specials, giveaways, and illegal gambling will be pervasive with Jay Gruden and Hotman Ted in attendance. It will be an evening of football, friendos, and fun at Monk's on September 5th. Strap on your boots and make plans to be there.
Both types of sports with shoot and tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're rocking out, Tor. Oh, it's finally here. We got to rock out with our cocks out. Come on, this is some relevant music. We're ripping this music from the headlines, Tor. Now, you're a younger man. This is what you got going on in your disc, man. Isn't it? Your iPod shuffle. Nano, is your XM MiFi rocking this shit?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, baby. It is Both Types of Sports with Shoot and Tour, football discussion on the internet. Thank you so much for tuning in, trying to be here, shaking up. John Salisbury will join us in just a couple of few. I'm Dukes. That's Tor. I gotta turn this off. This is driving me fucking insane. Why did I think that was gonna be a good idea?
I was rocking out, fired up for the season.
Let's get some generic rock going, baby. Yeah, come on. Let's fucking get it. Now loop that shit. Loop that shit. All. Check it.
All little sleeves.
No. Is this embarrassing? I'd be embarrassed if I were you. All right, let me turn that off. That was not the best way to start the show. I'll be honest with you.
Oh man. You know we have a presenting sponsor now, Tor?
For Both Types of Sports?
For Both Types of Sports with myself and for you. Dream Stay Getaways. If you're heading to Disney or Universal, want to get out of the cold this winter, dreamstaygetaways.us, Tor. They have three amazing houses right next to the parks. Rooms for kids, themed rooms for kids, private pools, game rooms, media rooms, all kinds of common areas to hang out. You don't want to burn all your cash at the parks. They got gyms and arcades and water parks in the community. Don't waste money on Airbnb fees and rent some dump in the middle of the swamp of Florida that doesn't care about your experience. Go to dreamstaygetaways.us to see the houses. They're on Instagram and Facebook as well, and they will be sponsoring us throughout the entirety of the football season. It covers your expensive fucking costs that I have to pay, your ransom notes that I get every... No, I'm kidding, of course. But that's big news. Good to see you, big man. How are you?
Good to be back talking football. Feels good. It's like a just sitting in a beautiful pool of just football and men throwing the football and hitting each other. There's nothing like this Thursday, especially when we're going to get annoyed by the third commercial break about how slow the pace is and how many commercials there are. Because I've already had it with the college football commercial stuff, how they've shortened the game to give us more commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Under the guise of player health. It's truly apparent how much commercials there are. So if the NFL can keep it somewhat balanced, I will be very appreciative.
I don't want to get all socio-political on the show, Gigantor, but it's almost like during COVID, people realized they could just say they were trying to be safe and just stop doing shit and providing services that they just didn't want to do. And you've got the get out of jail free card. I don't believe that the kickoffs are done for player safety. I don't believe that the guardian caps are done for player safety. I think what the NFL wants is they want an 18-game season, and they will do whatever it takes to get that done. And I also think that if they really were committed to player safety, would we be having a game 9-hour flight away in Brazil on Friday? Like, if your primary focus is player safety, and I'm not even saying that it should be, but don't sell me a line of bullets. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You're not going to Brazil if player safety is your number one priority. So, yeah, I would agree with you, but we are novices. This man is an expert. Mr. Sean Salisbury will be with us the entire season long. And up until now, I won't lie to you people, we've been bullshitting because there hasn't been games. But there are games now. We're very excited. Good to see you, Sal. Happy kickoff opening day, whatever you want to call it. It's finally here. Our patience has finally paid off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So where are we going to – you say that you don't want player safety in Brazil. I heard that. Where were they going next? Colorado to meet the Venezuelan?
Oh, no.
Good gracious. The
Venezuelan takes over the Denver Broncos locker room at any point this season. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for somebody to start plucking those guys off that keep interrupting neighborhoods, man. One guy says, I'm being facetious, obviously, but I don't need to apologize for that. Enough, okay? Enough of this. Don't get me started because I'll join those Hells Angels and get on my motorcycle and go with them. Okay.
Oh man.
Come into this country thinking you're going to take over places. That's for another whole conversation and non-football related. Okay. But it's okay to get a little physical once in a while with them, right?
I think you and I would really have fun doing a spin-off political podcast. Sounds like
fun. Dude, count to five and we could start now. We'll do a double podcast.
No, God.
One of that, one of this.
We're already making Tor uncomfortable. He is a young, liberal-minded gentleman. I don't want him uncomfortable.
Hey, listen, we should never hate anybody because of their politics. I mean, we could just like them a little, but it's okay. No, I don't lose friends over politics. I don't. I mean, I got some friends that may be dumbasses over politics, and they may think the same about me. But it's okay to be liberal. I mean, finishing in second place is always a good thing, my man. No,
oh, boy.
All in good fun, man. I just, you know what I like? I like peace and I like happiness and I like people being safe and, you know, in what's going on in Colorado and all that. And you mentioned safety for the players. And by the way, let me digress, but important. What went on in Georgia, and I'm not trying to put a, you know, something over there. God bless those families, man.
Oh, and, of course.
Yeah, just awful, awful stuff, which has nothing to do with politics, has everything to do with safety and common sense in this world, which we don't have much of. But I like to joke and stuff about the politics side. But that part of it, there's nothing. I don't know how those families get over stuff like that. I just don't.
So, don't encourage him, Kevin Smith. We're shifting away from that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's wise words, Styles. Look at this already. Bobby Double L, $50 super chat. My God, let's get
Hell, if you get to 100, I'll give you all the politics you want. Damn, let's go.
Bobby Double L, thank you so much. Well, of course, this is what we were referring to. This is Darius Slay commenting on the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles playing a game in Brazil.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. But, man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, NFL, why y'all want to send us somewhere with the crime rate this high? And like, we got the country. So, you know, the first thing people think is like, something terrible can possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because, hey, I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. Really, I'm going to be in a hotel, chilling, minding my business, playing my game after a long 9.5-hour flight. So I don't have no intentions on doing that. I'm going to eat hotel food. I'm doing everything. But they said, yeah, man, it's going to be pretty crazy down there. You know, police said they're going to be, you know, try to be the best they could possibly be, the top flight security of the world, Craig.
Craig.
You know what I'm saying? So we hope for that, man. But I do go.
And I think he is, first of all, kudos to this dude for saying this, because a lot of people would be scared. But Sal's, everyone's taking the bombastic first portion of that as like some big deal, but I'm staying in the hotel room. I'm eating the hotel food. I'm going about my business. That's words of wisdom for every week you're on the road in the NFL. I'm glad that's his plan of action. What do you make of those comments, the fact that Darius Slay so far has been the only one to express any concern?
Well, he's got a set and grow. Because listen, if you just there's one trail you got to follow when it comes to why they're there. Now, listen, I'm all about being global and spreading, you know, great cheer of football into other countries. I am. But I'm also about going there when it's a bit safer, and it's, you know, and it's when we talk safety on the field, you've also got to talk safety all off the field, not only for the players, but for the fans that are making that trip and teams that travel well. I like the fact that he said it because it's a fact. Well, you can't put a muzzle on a guy. We know what leaving a hotel could get you into trouble. So not only do I love what he's doing, everybody should follow suit. The fact that he's the only one that's speaking up about it doesn't surprise me, and I'm okay with it. I can tell you this, though. Do you think they're going there because they're trying to do everything they can? This is about money, right?
Sure.
Am I right? What always wins? What's more important, player safety? I'm not saying the NFL doesn't care at all, but listen, whenever you can spread the word and get out there, I like the idea, but the timing of it might be, and you never know what's going to go on in a different country at the time you're doing it. But I think we all have a pretty good idea when you've been warned that it's not safe, and you're telling them they should stay in the hotel. Then it's a kind of a talking out of both sides of our mouth message for the players, but hopefully it'll go with no problem. Hopefully everything will be done and people will stay in the hotel and they'll enjoy the game, and it'll be football and business and good times as usual. Like, well, we'll get the same report we got from the Georgia Tech, Florida State fans. Great in, you know, when you go to Ireland, or great when you go to London, or great. It dangerous, yes, but hopefully we're not coming back with some report that somebody got something stolen or somebody was in trouble. I hope that's not the case, that it's all football. And if you want to be, I'll tell you what the real thing will put you in trouble. Walk down there on one of those beaches and you got a big old onion rearing making you cry. That's dangerous. So stay away from there too, because that'll take your focus off football faster than anything. So yeah. Hopefully the NFL understands that players are concerned and people are concerned, but hopefully it'll just be football and they'll get a good taste of it. And I'm sure the fans will be passionate down there. It'll be fun.
I've seen some of that footage of those physiques that you're discussing. Oh. They certainly are compelling. Tor was making this point before you came on, Sal's, and that is there's so much that happens under the guise of player safety, like shorter game times, more commercials, less kickoffs, blah, blah, blah. Right. How much of the putting the pillow on top of the helmet, like how much of what the NFL actually does do you think is player safety, and how much of it is done under the guise of player safety in order to get us to that 18-game schedule, which is what we know the ultimate goal is?
Well, I think working back to front, I think that we know that they'd like to have two preseason games if they could, or even a third, but 18 games. I think that's obvious. And if we're not paying attention to that, then we're just not paying attention. Secondly, I'm hard pressed, and I have a hard time believing that Roger Goodell or Troy Vincent, the guys who are at the front of this with the NFL or anybody involved, wants to put players in danger on the field. Of course, they want them safe. I don't think they're trying to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. Say, well, we're going to say this, but we don't care. Now, with that, do I believe you mentioned the guys of why they're doing it? There is no question. There is no question that it's selective safety. It's safety. We want you safe. But, well, why do we have games on Thursday anyway? You'll play a game on a Thursday, and then you got to, you know, or on a Sunday, come back and play on a Thursday after you just carried it 35 times. You can't practice Monday because you're beat up. Tuesday, you got to have a regular day. And then Wednesday, you're already in your walkthrough for Thursday. And so it's I get the money, and I get why we keep putting them on TV. But the guys is, it's more optics on the periphery. Do I think, if you ask Roger Goodell and the NFL, do you care about players? Say, of course they do. Nobody wants head injuries or cheap shots or guys losing a career or wanting to retire early or having, you know, head trauma when their career's over. Nobody wants that. But let's face facts. Money is a big part of it. This the greatest game in the world. People love football and it's so popular. But there's no doubt to get it to 18 games And it's really cool when we talk about optics and safety and all the stuff on the helmet and everything. But listen, what we're going to do, we want you safe, but can you give me 60 carries in 2 weeks, but really in 3 days? So you see how this goes. But we know why they do this. They won 18 games, want more money and all those things that go with it. But in the process, am I one of those haters that says the NFL hates player safety? They're just doing it to do it. I think it's somewhere in the middle, Chad, to make my point. I think it's somewhere in the middle. They love the money. They want safety. If they can get both in an extra game, then God bless them, they'll do it. But optics is a big part here because nobody likes lawsuits. And we know what's gone on with that concussion lawsuit in the past. But to me, it's not just about head injuries. Guys lose careers because of Achilles and everything else. And it's not just about quarterbacks or skilled position. It's about linemen too. So it's a tough task to keep them all safe, but we know that it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's extreme both ways.
Sean, we get football back tonight. It feels like it took forever. We get the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Ravens with a new star running back Derrick Henry. I'm not sure if you heard of him. How do you think that this game is going to shake out? The Chiefs dropped their first game last year to Detroit. Detroit ended up being way better than I think a lot of people thought they were going to be. Do you think Kansas City starts off hot, or do you think Baltimore decides to set the tone and try to go back to with an opening week win?
Yeah, I think this is deeper than just the W and the L, and it's a great point, a great question. And I love that we get these early season, like we do in college, come out and you this may be a rematch of what we're going to see in January to go to February, right? I know teams have something to say about it. I think there's a couple points to this. One is, there's sidebars to this, the Lamar Jackson Mahomes battle. There's the adding Derrick Henry. Will Kansas City's defense do what they did last year and be physical and pretty much carry a team not named Mahomes for a lot of the season and play well in the postseason? And Spagnuolo's done a great job defensively, and having Derrick Henry gives Lamar Jackson a great something he hasn't had in a minute, which is his ability to get on the edge without people respecting the inside. Now, Baltimore always runs it well, but I'm talking about when you got a full-fledged banger that you went out and got that's capable of really limiting Lamar's carries and getting just as much production from him, but with less punishment on him. And he's got big shoulders, so Derrick Henry can handle it. I think this is huge. Why? And while it matters, I love it when people say, well, you got to win in December. Of course you do. But if you don't win in January, December may not matter. So I believe they're all huge. And this is a monster game in September when we say, well, it's a must win. Well, what does that mean? Must win that if you lose, your season's over? Absolutely not. But I think the psychological aspect of this game tonight, more on Baltimore than Kansas City, matters. I do. I think it matters on the physicality side. I think it matters on the I'm tired of this side. I think it matters for a fan base. Does it mean your season's over if you lose? No, but I do think it sends a message, because if Kansas City loses tonight, we're going to say, oh, man, short off season for them. They played into February. They've won two in a row. They'll respond. We've seen Mahomes and Andy Reid do this. If Baltimore loses, even though it's game one, some of the national, you know, the talk and the hyperbolic that goes with it's going to be can't beat them. They're just too good. And what's going to happen when they meet again in January? Is Baltimore, do they have this stronghold over them? But I do think psychologically, if Baltimore comes out and wins, I think that's a shot of Red Bull for them. I do. And I think it matters. I think both can overcome a loss, but I think the psychological side, Baltimore hasn't seen that Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, and I think it matters. And adding Derrick Henry, they've wanted to prove that they can add another element to bandwidth and give their offensive coordinator what he had at Georgia, ability to throw and run it. And now with Derrick Henry, you get the ability not just run it, because they've always been able to do that, but beat your brains in and body blow you to death and limit Kansas City's touches. Listen, they're going to score, but I want to limit how many times Mahomes gets to walk out on the field and play. And so limit his series, and Derrick Henry can do that, and he's as good a four-minute drill guy as we have, meaning at the end of a game, for fans that don't, at the end of a game, 4 minutes to go, I don't want the guy behind under center getting all the punishment. I want the guy in the backfield who can carry that load and kill a game so Mahomes doesn't touch the ball again the last 4 minutes, and Derrick Henry is about as good a closer as we've had in the league, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years.
Sean Salisbury will join us all season long on Both Types of Sports. If you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, we're having the big Chad Duke Show NFL 2024 season kickoff watch party at Monk's Barbecue in Percival. Coach Jay Gruden will be out there hanging out with us. We have all types of fun stuff, a lot of giveaways going on. So head out to Monk's to watch the game. And that's a place where I think Sal's would feel very comfortable when he comes to town. I did want to piggyback on what you said. They've got a new defensive coordinator in Baltimore, and it's a guy that's risen through the ranks rather quickly. Zach Orr, I think, you know, is he was under Mike McDonald. He's able to go out there, but you also have a situation where what you said about the Ravens is 100% accurate, Sal, and I'm so glad you said it. Nobody has the built-in cushion that the Kansas City Chiefs have because they've already proven they can take big swatches of the season off and still turn it on. I don't think the Chiefs played particularly well for most of the season last year. And no one has been able to do that in the NFL since I've been watching. I'm 45 years old and I don't, it's too competitive. Like these teams are too good. The coordinators are too smart. The Chiefs have proven that they can just kind of fall asleep at the wheel and still put themselves in a position at the end of the season. So the cushion's there for them. It's not there for the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah,
phenomenal point. Hall passed more in favor of Kansas City than anybody in the league. And a couple points, and you not only valid, but great point. The last time we saw this, where we felt like it was, remember when the Celtics and Lakers used to have their matchups, guys, or when Michael Jordan was playing, what do we always say? They can turn it on and off like a light switch. That's hard to do. I'm just telling you, it's what we've seen a little bit of it with Alabama and Nick Saban. Kirby Smart's got some of that going on with his team, even though they didn't win a title. It feels like no matter what goes on, they didn't play a great game last week, and they still hammered. I'm talking about hammered Clemson. So in the NFL, Belichick and Brady, that group, when they go out there and win, it was like, oh, okay, they had a sloppy game against Miami and South Florida, and then they reel off six in a row, and they're back in the Super Bowl and winning it. 100% correct. With Kansas City, in this current modern part of the last handful of years, there is no other team that it's like clockwork, because not only do they get there, they win. And then they get the Super Bowls, and they win, and now they're back-to-back. And you are one of the cushion you're talking about that everybody wants, because they've proven it. And let me, with the light switch going on and off, let's say they're 0-2, Kansas City. Are you honestly going to go on a third week of a show, on a TV show, a radio show, and say, I don't trust them? They're not. No, you're going to say, oh, it's only a matter of time. I pity the fool in the third game who's going to get the wrath of Andy Reid and Mahomes, and they're going to bust out.
Yeah.
And it's such a great point. Last year, and I've said it, and I'll say it here, Mahomes, Kelsey, we know, but they didn't have the same wide receiver, perimeter people. Their defense, for the most part, carried him most of the year other than Mahomes doing Mahomes things. They looked kind of subpar at times, weren't as explosive. And then all of a sudden, January hits and it's different water they're drinking. They're playing a different game than the rest of us. And you know that they're going to be in them all with a chance to win if it's close. So they do have the cushion. I don't think Kansas City won. Now they want to win and they want to send that message. I don't think for one bit they're going to go into a locker room if Baltimore beats them at the end of this game and come out next week and the Kansas City fans say, oh, the run's over, the window's closed. No, the window's open and it will be open as long as that guy's the coach and that quarterback's the quarterback. So Baltimore and the rest of the league want what Kansas City has, and that's the ability to have that cushion that if you lose, it's okay, we're not going away. And I don't know if they're going to the Super Bowl, but I'll damn well tell you, they could go 0-3, and I'll still have them go into the playoffs because they get on runs that they've been epic, and they're playing about as good as anybody does year in and year out. Even if it doesn't look pretty, the result's pretty for them.
I wanted to play this for you, Sal. This is Troy Aikman, who I know you're familiar with, on This Is Football, and he's talking about quarterbacks. You know, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. Tom Brady played into his 40s. You're seeing guys get upwards and you get closer to that age, and you realize, oh, we still can't at this position go out there and compete. Aikman had some words on why that is. You played quarterback. I wanted to get you to respond to this.
In my career, I played 12 years. I would have played much longer, and I think that the norm going forward is going to be, we're going to see quarterbacks playing up until they're 40 years old and beyond. Yeah. I think if anyone retires before they're 40, it's going to be a little bit surprising. One, because of the salaries, but then also the quarterbacks just aren't taking the punishment that we took back when I played.
One of the arguments he made during that interview was, if you played the highlight reel of him getting hit in the pocket and getting sacked, like,
they would all be suspensions. There'd be guys not just getting penalties, but getting thrown out of the game, the type of hits he took on a weekly basis. Does that math vibe to you that 40-year-old quarterbacks will become the norm? And then how far can we push that? Are guys 45, 46, 50 years old? Are you going to be able to go out there and still sling the football in the NFL?
40 is a new 30 for really good quarterbacks who take care of themselves. Honest to God, it is. Troy's spot on. And let's not bury the lead. Those glasses are like sweet that Aikman's got on. Okay,
fantastic. Like the superhero.
Phenomenal. Troy's 100% correct, and so are you guys, about one is hits that – he was taking, you go back and watch helmets to the, you know, crown of the helmet to the chin. I remember the game against Philadelphia early in his career when he got his brains beat and kept getting up. And he was, you know, Troy's tough as 100-year-old leather, but protect you more. And it's not a, oh, boomer, old guy. Oh, they protect him more. It's better brand of football now than later. It's a different brand of football. Could Mahomes play when Aikman did? Yeah.
Sure.
He sure is. Could Burrow? Sure. And could Aikman play now? Yeah, to the tune of about 5,000 yards passing. And probably, like he said, that 12 years is 18 years. Okay, 12 years probably felt like 30 to Troy as often as he got hit, even though he's winning Super Bowls. Early in his career, he got pummeled because he was not going to bail on the pocket. He was going to beat you standing in there and taking a shot and love him. But he's right. And you're going to sit there and say, well, listen, man, I'm a 39-year-old quarterback. I can sign a 3-year deal that pays me by that time. If you're 25 now and you get to 39, you're like, 39, that's going to be $60 million a year for the 15th best quarterback. No, I'm good. Yeah, I got you for three more.
Sign me up.
You're going to have to drag them off the field. And then even then you're like, well, you know what? I've had all these Super Bowls. Maybe I'll just go and be the backup and mentor a guy, start a little bit, back up, and I'll make $10 million a year by that time to be the backup. But there is money, and people will argue and say, well, with all the money, won't they want to get out earlier? No, you want to hoard it. There's more to go. Plus, it's not just you're not Aaron Rodgers, competitive. Brady, competitive. Aaron Rodgers still could be an MVP in this league. Troy's right. I would have loved to seen how many more years Danny would have got Marino, or how many more years Aikman or Steve Young's. And most of the time, you do have to drag players off the field because they want to play. But with the salaries, it's like, man, I can get a little extra kick in the retirement and another $25, $30 million to play till I'm 40. I don't know what the ceiling is, but at some point in time, you know, the Warren Moons who lasted a long time, you're going to get a guy who says, you know what, I'm 47, I'm still playing. But it all depends also. You got to be lucky. You got to have smart approach to your offseason. And it's not the season that gets guys to retire, fellas. It's the offseason. It's when you hit 43, are you willing to put the same time in and more than you did when you were 23, when your body's not recovering as fast or as quickly now? But with all that's at their feet, what they have to rehab and wellness and vitamins and coaching and private coaching and nutritionists, yeah, it's a different world. We don't smoke cigarettes in a locker room like Lenny Dawson with a Fresca anymore. Although you cool bastard, we should do that more. And make sure they're Marlboros or Lucky Strikes. But other than that, Troy's spot on. And you'll get great play. Somebody's going to win an MVP in their 40s. Brady win at 40, 39, something like that? And he will be the norm. I don't know if they'll be that successful, but the norm will be, I'm not playing until I'm 35, I'm playing until I'm 45. And it's coming as long as they'll take care of their body and no career-ending injury.
Real quick, Tor, before, just in case people aren't familiar with it. Well, first of all, there's the glasses right there. What a dreamboat! This
is that made. Is it Buddy Holly look? I mean, kind of, or am I wrong?
It's superheroish. I almost think, yeah, it looks like Robert Downey Jr. in Iron
Good
Man.
Good call, a little Bob Downey Jr. I like that.
But that's a much different picture right there, Sal.
Now look at that. Look at this one. There's a Fresca. Anybody don't know about Fresca?
I love Fresca.
You'd go to McDonald's or you'd go to the store and say, you drive through, give me four Big Macs, and then go to the store and say, can I get a Diet Coke or a Tab? Remember Tab or a Fresca? How about that, Lenny Dawson? Let me get this grit, take a puff, and then go out and throw two touchdown passes in the second half. Kenny Stabler told me a story. We had to talk about the coolest of the cool. We were in Biloxi, Mississippi after we roasted a guy in the media. On the dais, and we went down. I'm a lifelong Raider fan, and I'd never met Stabler in person.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting down on the top of it getting ready for mine, and they're all across. Billy Packer, all those guys are across. And who sits next to me but Kenny Stabler? And dude, I'm getting bricked up, right? thinking of Stay. I mean, I'm a lifelong Raider fan. Yeah, he's got the long flowing hair, Southern gentleman, whiskey, and all the Raider stories. And so Snake sits next to me, and we're paying attention, but I could really care less about the rest. Yeah. I want to talk to him. Well, when we're done, he says, Sean, you want to go have a drink? We spent 3 hours in the bar in Biloxi, Mississippi at the casino. He went behind the bar, Southern gentleman, and he shared Raider stories with me, and we talked, and I'm telling you, I didn't want to leave. It was one of my five best nights.
That's fantastic.
It was unbelievable. I'm thinking, what? And he told me, he goes, Sean, I remember one time I said, give me a story on game day. He goes, one time I'm having a horseshit game, man. You know, and he's talking through an old Southern like Kenny Duds. He said, I go into the locker room, grab a cigarette. And he goes, in our locker room, everybody's smoking. He said, you can't even see the dude sitting next to you because it's smoke everywhere. He says, you know, take my pads off for a second. I'm firing up a grit. And he says, I address the team. I said, basically, I'm playing like horse shit. Just hang with me. It'll get better here in the second half. And we'll take care of business. And I said, well, how did the result? He goes, so they hung in there. I played better. We took care of business. And just the stories. And you say, well, some of these Raider stories aren't true. True. Kenny watered them down knowing they're even greater than we even thought. Okay. So, yeah, I can't wait till we see the day when they say you're not allowed to smoke in the locker room, which you're not. And yet I see like Mahomes or Burrow in there with a friggin' Lucky Stripes and a Lucky Strikes and a doggone Fresca. But yeah, those stories are more important to me than any touchdown pass. And still one of my five favorite nights in the world was watching and listening to Stabler tell stories and sitting next to him. I didn't deserve that, but I sure loved it.
What a great story. Go ahead, Tor. Sorry.
So I was scanning some of the betting lines yesterday, and one really jumped out to me. I was confused. And I was hoping you could shed some light on it. The Cowboys are 2.5-point underdogs to Cleveland this weekend. Cleveland without Nick Chubb. Cleveland starting Deshaun Watson. Cleveland with their elite defense, which I will give them credit for. And Cleveland that added Jerry Jeudy, another weapon. But I can't fathom that Browns offense putting up more points than Dallas in this game. It seems a little bit egregious to me with that line.
Yeah, and that's why, what's the first thing we do when we see a line like that, guys? What's the first thing we think of? They know something we don't, right?
Absolutely.
That for me, that's what I'm thinking. You're right, on the surface, it's like, well, I do think Cleveland's a playoff team. I do. I think they can, in a brutal division, I think depending on Watson's performance and they stay healthy, you know, they've got players now. And they are going to score some points. But I think a lot of it, maybe I'm wrong when those guys who set the lines know better than I do. And I can see it and I understand it. I would have favored the Cowboys by a field goal or less regardless. But I think this offseason, I think a little CD Lamb turmoil, even though he got paid late to, you know, getting things started. I think the Dak Prescott talk, Jerry Jones, they didn't do much this offseason either. When you really think about it, what did they do? Who upgraded their team personnel-wise to the point where you're saying, what wow factor move, aside from getting their guy signed, did they make this offseason?
Okay. None.
Exactly. So I think that has a lot to do, a little cumulative effect. I'm not sure I'd touch that game with a 10-foot pole unless you think this is complete bullshit. The Cowboys are not only being dogs, they should be favored. They're going to win by a touchdown. I think Cleveland's sneaky in this whole playoff thing. And I don't know what I'm going to get from Watson, and I don't know what I'm going to get overall. New defensive coordinator in Dallas. We know Micah Parsons. We know they've got players. But I'm curious how long it'll take for the Cowboys to explode on offense without Nick Chubb in Cleveland as well, how long it takes them. But I'm taking Cleveland's defense over Dallas's right now, and I'm not so sure that there's, even without Chubb, that Cleveland doesn't have just as many, if not more, weapons. So I get it, but I'm not sure I'd touch it. And it would look awfully odd. So when those guys set the lines and it's like that, they know something. I do think it's a field goal game. I'm not sure if it's going to go the way they think, though.
I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit, only in the fact that if you talk about, you lose Tony Pollard, you lose Michael Gallup, they did nothing but lose weapons. And then nothing healthy happened for the Cowboys this offseason. It was all acrimony and players sniping at what the owner is saying. And look, this is a 12-5 team. I get it. But the Browns are a football team. They're bullies, and they're going to beat the shit out of this team up front. And I think it's going to mean more to them. And you're going on the road to Cleveland. I don't think there's an NFL player on the planet that likes going on the road to Cleveland. So I think if Joe Flacco was the quarterback for the Browns and it wasn't Deshaun Watson, who has convinced us of nothing right now, I don't know that we'd be scoffing that much at it. But there's no recent evidence to say the Cowboys are vastly superior to Cleveland right now.
Yeah, and that's why we're on the exact same page in the same church pew, man, because I think a lot of the periphery off the field, off season chatter is a big reason for this. And I'm with you. Right now, if I said, who do you think has a better chance of disrupting or body blowing the team, meaning beating them up? Cleveland more than Dallas right now. I don't even know if their run game can beat anybody up right now. I really don't. I mean, do you fear Ezekiel Elliott at this point in your career?
No.
So they did. And you know what? I know this. I can take your best player away on offense. I can. If you got one, if I'm playing them, are you letting CeeDee Lamb run free? No. I'm going to roll the coverage to him and I'm going to get after the quarterback and see if Dak is going to use his legs. So I do get it. I have Cleveland in the playoffs in mind. I got three teams from the North in the playoffs. And Cleveland's tough. I'll tell you what would even be tougher if they had to go play in old Cleveland Municipal Stadium in the Mistake by the Lake. It'd even be more brutal with the dog pound there. But I think they're fired up for a good season. Cowboys like Baltimore in that one, although Baltimore's done a lot better stuff, and I think they're a better team. Cowboys also with that hall pass that other teams get, Kansas City got. Dallas, I'm curious to see how they would go in when they go in there, if they come out of that with a loss, what the chatter is that surrounds that football team, especially if it's ugly or Dak doesn't play well. There's some things we got to question. Cowboys explosiveness and who's Deshaun Watson. Other than that, overall, I think Cleveland's a better football team than Dallas, if you ask me, but I understand why the line's a little odd to some.
Yeah, that sounds like we're about to keep you for too long, but
you're good,
I gotta ask you a quarterback question. Offensive rookie of the year, 3-1, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. I think if you're just judging by talent and potential, this is a different question, but the way that these teams are set up and expectations, the type of offense they're running, durability, I think it's possible that Bo Nix has a shot at something like this. Caleb Williams, I'm seeing most people say too, with Jaden Daniels, people are very excited, but he's got the monstrous hits. He took all those highlight packages on YouTube where you could just watch him getting his clock cleaned during college. That gives me pause. Give me 3-1, the likelihood of those three quarterbacks winning offensive rookie of the year this season.
And we know, unless a running back goes crazy, it's a quarterback award, or unless it's become that. All three are going to play the whole season, which is a good thing. Sometimes you wonder, well, he's in a battle with a veteran. It's those three guys' team right now, right? And then you look at the surrounding cast. And then I look at the coaching and offensive play calling. And also you got to look at who's going to have the ball in their hand more when it comes to it's a blowout. Is he still in the game? Because what are we going to judge rookie of the year on? Wins and losses maybe, but what else? Numbers, right? It's going to be the optics of numbers. So Caleb Williams, obvious, and you know I think he's a beast of a player, and Chicago should be improved, and he's so dynamic, boom. I love what Jaden Daniels did to expand at LSU, his deep ball throwing, but I think they're going to, I don't want to say kid glove it, but am I fair? Do you guys think protect him a little more? Not just with pass protection, but he ain't going to do the things he was doing at LSU on the edge. They got to keep him healthy and right, don't want to take those hits, and you know Williams is built for that kind of stuff. I'm with you. While I lean towards Caleb Williams because of even all the hype he's been able to elevate, I said on my show, I said it last week and I said it this morning, that do not be shocked if Bo Nix blows the rookie of the year field away. Why? Because there's plenty of mileage that he's still got left. But Sean Payton, he didn't like what he had last year with Russell Wilson. He's a mad scientist. And you know Sean Payton, and I mean this as a positive, got that ego that says, I had Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. Now, while he's not Drew Brees accurate yet, but he's accurate, if I can put him together, which is kind of who Bo Nix is, he's not 6'5". He can move. He's accurate with the football. He's got great experience and a ton of starts under him at two different schools. And Sean Payton's going to want to prove to you that by getting rid of Russ Wilson, this is the guy that I can do bandwidth and do everything I need to do. And I think that Denver's going to be a better team than they have been under Russ Wilson. I would bet, if I had money and you said you have to bet, I think Bo Nix's path to the rookie of the year, maybe easy is not the right word, maybe a little clearer than the other two. If he wins it, don't be shocked. I would go Nix, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels, even though on my show I chose Caleb Williams, but I said I'm not comfortable with that pick.
I think he could have a Sam Howell-like season.
Agreed.
Because like they're going to be down. They're going to have to throw all the time. He gets rid of the ball super quick. If he's sitting there with 4,700 yards at the end of the year and the Broncos went 7-9 or 7-10, whatever it is now, aren't any of us going to be surprised? I'm not going to be surprised.
No, and don't you think that Sean Payton wants to prove that his last couple of, you know, in last year in Denver wasn't who Sean Payton's is, you know, when he left New Orleans, has been out of football, comes back, bam, this job, that now he's at Denver and he's got a quarterback he wants and can give him the bandwidth that he had in with two guys in New Orleans and now feels like he may have with one guy. Long way to go to be Drew Brees, but he can kill you two different ways. And don't be misled, man. Anybody out there throwing from, even if you're 4-13, but you throw for a lot of yards and run for a lot of yards, he will win the rookie year. It's a numbers game when it comes to that, like we said. So Bo Nix would be my lean, even though I went homer and chose Caleb Williams just because I'm pulling for the cat.
Absolutely. No-brainer of all no-brainers. Give the gentleman a follow on X, Sean Unfiltered. Must follow if you enjoy football. Host
who's winning tonight? Who's winning tonight?
I got the Ravens. I think it means more to the Ravens. I think Derrick Henry's going to be on fire. I think they want to go in there and set a tone for the rest of the season. Like, as we discussed earlier, the Chiefs don't need to do that. Tor, I imagine you're picking Kansas City.
No, I all the pomp and circumstance, hard to bet against Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I said that they're psychologically that this is to Baltimore. It does mean more. Everybody wants to win, but there's a deep seated meaning on this. I believe that. And I also believe that if they can get Derrick Henry going, keep an eye on first down for the Ravens offense tonight. Watch first down and what they do on first down and where they are sitting at second down. If they're getting 5 yards or more on first down and they're in second and four, second and five, play action becomes huge. Derrick Henry can still run it on second down. I think you're going to see a lot of some big plays tonight out of second down, and I think Kansas City's defense may get fooled a time or two. If they're running the ball well and winning on first down, second down could be a big play tonight. I'm keeping an eye on yards, what they're doing on first down in Baltimore. I like Baltimore as well, but I got news for you. Kansas City's still winning their division.
I think it's Baltimore. I think Kansas City losing Legarius Sneed is going to definitely hurt them in the first quarter of the season, just because you don't have that true captain watching over everything in the defensive backfield that you can turn on in case the pass rush doesn't get there, in case the linebacker gets beat. It's going to take some time, I think, for Kansas City's defense to get back to that December position where they were winning them games, not just keeping them in it and right, holding tight, but winning them games. So I think Baltimore takes this just because Kansas City still has a too much more to figure out going into this game.
And real quick, guys, also with Spagnuolo defensively, here's his – what he's going to do. See how many different looks he tries to give Lamar Jackson, right, to show blitz one way and bring another guy, pressure him. But if you miss on blitzes and you don't bring Lamar Jackson to the ground, that's where a lot of big plays off schedule happen. But I'm just curious, how aggressive will their defense be? Is it one of those passive aggressive where you don't over pursue or over commit to the first guy on Lamar, because you can't miss, because if you do, Kansas City will be in trouble with those big plays. So I'm curious to see the matchup also with that offense versus Spagnuolo and how aggressive he is, like he was in the Super Bowl. How much pressure will you see with more than four guys coming after Lamar Jackson, and then the ability for Lamar to recognize it, dissect it, get the ball out quickly, or kill him with his feet. Derrick Henry is going to be fun to watch. This is going to be a good fist fight tonight.
I started smiling during that because we get to talk about this game the next time you're on. I'm so excited. Sal's, you're the best in the business. Thank you so much. Appreciate all season long. Salisbury will be with us.
Thanks, fellas. Awesome.
Thank you, brother.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. you can buy a car for even more money than before. Or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one. But just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.
Get all boned up,
man. It's like
about football.
When you think the season's here, then you actually start getting into the nitty gritty with it. It's like chills down your spine.
To your point with Snead, they were openly discussing what a loss that was. I mean, the Chiefs are. You never see that tour. They never.
It's brutal.
You know, we wish the guy well. Blah blah blah. They're openly discussing what a loss that is. I tell you what's crazy though. I forgot who was pointing it out yesterday, but someone was pointing out Steve Spagnuolo doesn't get a sniff as far as another shot at being a head coach. And he was at the Rams. They were one of the most dysfunctional organizations that we've seen in the past 20 years. And Spags is a guy that, and Eric Bieniemy before him, I don't know. It's weird how much everyone believes that it all runs through Andy Reid, even though disastrous Belichick coordinator after disastrous Belichick coordinator has gotten opportunities in this league. That doesn't necessarily happen with Kansas City. It's a weird thing.
Look at Football Shoe tap it into there. Head coach of the St. Louis Rams 2009 to 2011. Yeah. God, they were bad in that stretch.
That was a sad. Well, that's why we're looking at, what were we talking to? Who do we have on? Becht. And yeah. Like, how the fuck are you drawing 40,000 fans for the Battle Hawks and the Rams flared out? Because they were the Panthers. I mean, they were just the fucking doormat of the league. After the greatest show on turf. That's how that happened. It's fucking rough, man. We get super chats. Spider Clamp, $10. Thank you so much, brother. They banned X there too. Better watch what he's saying about Brazil. He might get arrested for it. Look, they have UFC fights. Look, I absolutely understand why Darius Slay is nervous. I understand why he didn't want to go, why he's telling his family to stay home. And I probably would act the same way. I give him credit for having a sack and speaking his mind. I don't know if it's good for him or for the organization, but Tor, let's be honest. Philadelphia isn't exactly the safest city on earth. There's a franchise in Baltimore. There's a franchise in Detroit. I mean, there's places in this country where there's a lot of violent crime. I know this is coming off the heels of an NFL player getting shot in the chest, by the way. And that was some of the craziest video I've ever seen, taking a hot ball to the chest and then quietly walking over to the ambulance and getting in. That's going to be something that's, you know, tough for San Francisco to overcome. And maybe, I don't want to say it's a blessing because it's not, but Trent Williams is saying that's the reason he came back to the fucking team. They certainly needed him. The NFL knows security. They know how to do this. I don't think they're going to leave for one moment anything up to chance on their players getting to the stadium, getting back to the hotel and then flying. But it's a 9-hour flight. It's in the back of all of the players' heads that are most likely competing. It is a chance, no matter what way you want to break it down, that they're taking, that something strange could happen while they're down in Brazil.
Yeah, not to dive into the geopolitical climate of Brazil, but they have hosted major events in Brazil. They've hosted a World Cup. I think they did an Olympics in Rio. They did one of the two, you know, biggest events for non-American football sport in the world. And I think they did it pretty decently. I know the Olympics comes and it ravages a city, but it does. Brazil, I think, has enough infrastructure for the NFL to have faith that they can work alongside them. That's all the NFL needs, because they got their people. It's the biggest business in America. They're gonna make sure that their guys are safe, I think.
Do you blame Darius Slay for saying that, though? I don't.
No,
I bet he speaks for 60% of the players that are heading down there right now.
No, I had teammates that didn't want to go on a jet ski in Miami next to me. The different people have their different comfort levels, and I don't think that it's worth being shamed for being uncomfortable to do something. It's Earl not going down the ski slopes. How long did he get crushed for that?
Sure.
He didn't want to go skiing.
Is that the jet ski that you were on where your board shorts came off in front of all the hot chicks that were on the beach? Oh,
when I was hot dogging? Yeah, when it was just pointed right up to the sun. Bare ass, white cheeks. Like, I mean, you...
Yeah. So light it was causing a goddamn eclipse of the fucking the northern hemisphere, because Tor's bare ass was taking up so much real estate. Bobby Double L, thank you for the $10 super chat. Globalist Tor, he's a world traveler. No. Remember when he was talking about swimming in the Mediterranean? What else did you say? You dine with kings and queens and you eat nallies with pork and beans?
I said none of it's better than NFL kickoff and football coming back. It doesn't even come close.
I had
the couch rot that's going to take place.
Tor is the son of a plumber. I had no fucking idea. Bobby Double L, thank you for the $10 super chat. You know it,
Daddy.
Appreciate everybody that is super chatting. Oh, real quick, I should bring this up as well, Gigantor. Big day over on social media for this particular show. We are doing our second giveaway. If you haven't seen this, you go to at both types sports on X. Every fifth of the month throughout the entire football season, we will be giving away a Colt Brennan signed autograph card. Every fifth of the month, this one is particularly beautiful. All you have to do to have a chance to win is follow us on X. That is it. It is both types sports. So go on over there. I'll be giving that away before the watch party this evening. So check that out. And if you're on Instagram, we're on both types sports on Instagram as well. But the card giveaways are going down on X. So go check it out. And we actually place a donation to the Colt Brennan Foundation every time we give one of these away. So it's a feel-good story all the way around.
Hawaii legend, DC legend, happy to support him. Losing him was tragic, and doing what we can, whether it is just card giveaways, keeping the memory alive is important.
I just did a quick Google search, brother, and it says Brazil kidnapping cases in Latin American Caribbean countries in 2022. Brazil led the list with a total of 4,390 kidnapping cases.
That's not great.
That ain't nothing, man. And if I'm reading that and I got a family and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Why should Darius Slay care if the NFL expands into South America as far as their interest? Like, I'm already signed up for getting on a plane, and I would have conversations with the players union if I had that level of concern. I don't want to get, there's been too much attention paid to this already, but I haven't spoken with you about it. I talked about it a little bit yesterday on the Chad Duke show, but there was this, I don't know, what do you call it, a hype video for the 2024 season.
Promo, football's back promo.
A lot of little interspersed clips. I play it, but I don't want to get a strike from the fucking NFL. And in this hype video, Joe Burrow is shown once. Patrick Mahomes is shown once. Who's the quarterback of the Texans? People think he's pretty good.
CJ Stroud.
He's not shown at all, I don't think.
Lamar is shown once.
Taylor Swift is shown five times. Five times. Booker T. And the people were annoyed by that. And I don't think it's outlandish to be annoyed by a pop singer whose music you don't potentially care for to be shown in a hype video for a sports league. But Nate Burleson had no problem with it and went as far on CBS this morning to, I don't want to say viciously attack NFL fans, Gigantor, but he certainly wasn't complimentary.
You guys that are in your feelings,
take several seats.
Get the Nate cam.
Get out of your feelings. Oh, you upset? You're a widow mad because Taylor Swift is in the promo? Who cares? Yeah.
I think the people that are complaining care. That was my response. Like, you already know that answer. And also, who the fuck still watches shows like this, Tor? Who watches Let's Wake Up in the Morning with Kelly Ripa and Hoda and Kathy Lee? And is this still a modality of entertainment that is consumed by people?
Well, the NFL morning shows, they can't just sit down at the desk anymore. It's a lot more roaming and walking and talking. Which is, yeah. All right, everybody's this board.
Spazzy running over to fucking screens and back, touch screens everywhere. This is not that, though. This is a terrible fucking coffee clutch show.
You're mad because Taylor Swift is in the promo. Who cares?
Yes. Okay? Nobody, Nate.
Wipe the drool off your tank top and put some pants on and get out your mama's basement.
Preach, Nate. Preach. Whoa. Keep
going.
I don't
understand what the big deal is.
Keep going.
All right? Every other sport can show celebrities at their games. We show Taylor Swift.
No problem.
You get in your feels.
Yes.
And get out of your feelings, man. That's right. And watch the game.
This is so ironic to me. That his biggest takeaway, the exclamation point on his rant, is get out of your feelings and watch the game. And that is what the people that are complaining about Taylor Swift, that is exactly what they want to do, Tor.
That's all I want to do. I don't want to have any feelings aside from I want my mouth drool going on my tank top watching the football game. That's all I want. And it's so different than when there's a celebrity row at the Knicks. You see a post from NBA every time they have a game. I don't care because it's just one post. Hey, look, the celebrities popped out tonight. They're not constantly shown during the broadcast to my knowledge. I don't really watch the Knicks that much, but I watch football And the constant coverage. I'm not seeing clips of Zendaya in the week four game for the Knicks later in the season just because she showed up that game and she may be showing up again. There's not this type of reporting on this. It's we've lost control of the situation.
Yeah.
Completely. We are just beyond gone.
His analogy of other sports are allowed to show celebrities at the game. You're right about that. But nobody, when Jay-Z and Beyonce are at a game, go down the list. Jack Nicholson is at a Lakers game. I don't know. Spike Lee with the Knicks. I don't know who else you compare this to. When Bradley Cooper is in the stands for an Eagles game, yeah, they cut up to him a couple of times, but it's not. You can't sit here and be disingenuous and act like the coverage of Taylor Swift being a Chiefs fan isn't over the top, because then I can't take your point seriously because you're not being honest about the coverage that we're all seeing. It's plain as the day is long.
It's ridiculous. There was a clip of Kevin Hart at the U.S. Open watching the tennis this, I think yesterday or the day before. And it was a funny clip. He was watching the ball like people that don't watch a lot of tennis do when they first, it was a good clip. Tweet it out. Fine. That was one time. I'm certain there's not going to be any oversaturation of Kevin Hart tennis watching videos to come for the next year as tennis continues through there. He's not going to be at the Australian Open. And if he is, it's going to be one clip. And he might not be included in their big mega promos to start the season before week one. It's out of hand. And we know it's out of hand because we can't take it anymore. And we knew as soon as it was starting, it was just going to be a social media grift, which it continues to be. It's just a big grift. And you know what? If you're going to grift me, just do it once and get over on me. That's fine. If you continue to try to get over on me, that's when people start losing their patience, is the never-ending grift.
And I think the other part of it is I was suffering under the delusion that the NFL would get this out of their system when it was new and it was exciting. And of course, the Chiefs go on this miraculous run and she's making it all about her and dancing around with Brittany Mahomes in the box the whole time. I think we thought this was going to go away, that these two idiots would either break up in the offseason or at least the newness factor would wear off. And the NFL has called their shot. They're standing with their bat pointing towards left field. Here's five clips right here in our promo video. I don't think it's just the promo video that people were bitching about. It's the fact that this is a very big indicator that it's going to continue. And that when the Chiefs are on television and Taylor Swift is in the building, that is what the narrative they're going to focus on for. And they're upset about it because we want to be excited about, you know, Derrick Henry rushing the football for the Ravens against the champs tonight.
What did Anthony Beck tell us when he said he goes to the Iowa State football games to watch his son? He says, I don't sit in the box. The cameras are always trying to get to me. I sit high up. I try to sit out of the way just so I can watch my kid play the game. The person that I came to see that I care about, I'm not trying to be on camera, make it about myself. Yeah, they might find me in a commercial break after a lot of searching, but they're going to have to do some searching for me. That's how it goes. Seeing a regular set of parents or family members in the stands, like the St. Browns, I think they were highlighted in the Netflix documentary. They were sitting in the stands. They weren't in a box. They were just watching the game as normal parents do. So if you're going to, there's a way to do it. If they wanted to do it, there's a way to do it where you could just watch the game in peace. But maybe it's just such a level of superstardom where it supersedes just being a family member or a partner of the person on the field.
They partnered with Nickelodeon, right? So Nickelodeon gets to play these games and drop slime on people's heads and you can talk stupid and maybe kids are into football instead of into Minecraft. How about we partner with VH1? Throw a Taylor cam on the woman. And then if all these teeny boppers that don't care about football would like to just sit and watch Taylor Swift watch a football game, they may do that.
Have the call her daddy girl be on the call and do all the commentary if you want to do that. A mega podcaster for women that just got signed to a $100 million deal.
Good for her. I'm very happy for her. I'm sure it's much deserved. That is not the fucking guy that I wanted to show you. I wanted to show you this. The week one schedule. We get Ravens Chiefs at tonight, which is very exciting. Then we get Green Bay Philadelphia, and one of the things I wanted to bring up about that potential matchup, or it's not a potential matchup, it's going to happen. If I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, and I have aspirations on winning the NFC, I don't think I'm all that cool with losing a home game, where at best we're playing on a neutral field, it's a 9-hour flight, all the security concerns, like, this is not like sending the Jacksonville Jaguars to London, where, you know, you'll be lucky if 30,000 Jacksonville Jaguars fans show up in right. their own building. This is one of the most popular franchises in the league, and they're sacrificing a home game in a season that I believe they think they can compete. I'd be pissed off if I was the Philadelphia Eagles.
I would want some type of home game compensation, especially if you have a home field advantage like Philly does, as much sure. as it pains me to say and give any props to Philly. Their fans show out, and I have to respect that, and they do make noise, and they do hold up some of the tried and true habits of classic NFL fans, being mean, being loud, getting in your face, trying to make an impact. That's what they do. I don't know if they're going to make an impact versus the Packers in Brazil. I don't know how many people they can fly down to Brazil to represent Philadelphia. And I know Packers fans travel. They travel like hell. I'm sure they're excited to go to this game. I think they'll travel well. Best case shot in my scenario is it's a 50-50 split fans between Philly and Green Bay.
Yeah. Couple of really interesting matchups here. Not that many of you care about the Titans, but my guy Grind Simmons was talking shit about Caleb Williams in the offseason and his pink fucking nail polish. So that game on the road at Soldier Field is interesting to me. You know, divisional matchup, Texans versus Colts, couple of young quarterbacks people are excited about. You got the Bo Nix taking on the Seattle Seahawks, the Cowboys, Browns game you mentioned. Jaden Daniels against, you know, one of the best teams in the NFC, I think. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Best game of the week might be Rams Lions. I mean, just from a high flying offense, spectacular shootout point of view. The Lions don't play any defense. That could be 48. That could be Chiefs Rams from 4 years ago, which is still the greatest game I've ever watched. God. But Tor, one of the biggest games with the biggest storylines of the week, the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling down to the dirty. Arthur Smith triumphantly taking his 13-point potential with Russell Wilson at the helm. In against, I assume Kirk Cousins is playing. Has that been announced yet?
I think so.
That's supposed to be a revenge game. I don't know. I think that it's very possible that the Steelers score 16 points and win that game. And there is a shot of reality fucking to the Atlanta Falcons about a team that doesn't give a fuck. Like, they don't give a fuck about how great Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson could be. The Steelers don't take any shit. They play defense. They have one of the best defensive players in the league. They have one of the best coaches in the league. I don't know. That's one of the most intriguing matchups on paper, even if it ends up being 30 points scored total.
I'm excited to bring that bozo back to Atlanta and try to teach him a lesson of what he did by watching Kyle Pitts catch for, you know, five passes, 100 yards and a touchdown. That won't happen. It's closer to what you said, a 16-point win for Pittsburgh, and then Atlanta gets 10 points, throws a pick on the final drive, and he goes for fourth down, obviously, fourth and six, and Kirk throws it short of the chains. I can see all of that happening. I'm really hoping that this is a game, I think, that could collapse the season before it even starts. They've had so much,
God willing,
of a roller coaster offseason. They've been in the spotlight. That's where I hate them being. They don't work well in the spotlight, in the sun. They are always best as a dark horse team that's just kind of tucked away in the NFC South. Good offense. Cool. It's the NFC South, though. We don't have to worry about them. And then they make the playoffs and anything can happen. That's all I've ever wanted from Atlanta. Not, hey, big powerhouse, watch out for Bijan and Kirk in this offense. I hate that. You know why? Because it's never that, because we drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I don't think anybody's calling Atlanta powerhouse except a moment ago. And by the way, we end the weekend. We bookend it with Chiefs and Ravens, and we end it with San Francisco and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I mean, fantastic. What a fucking you know, the ice cream sandwiches, the ones that never melt. They've done exposés on being filled with chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
I've always thought those little chocolate wafer things are one of the best foods on the planet. I enjoy it more than the ice cream. That's exactly what this week has been. This needs to be mentioned on this show because it won't get mentioned anywhere else. I gotta say, David Carr is one of the sexiest motherfuckers. Have you seen the meme with the dude with the big pecs and the giant fucking jaw? They always use it as like some sort of political statement.
The Giga Chat,
He's that guy in real life. I don't know who the dude is on the left. Looks like a normally sized gentleman. He's not bad looking, but I'm not standing next to David Carr on a television set. I'm not working my whole life to get in front of a fucking NFL camera and having to be next to this handsome. Look how swarthy this tall, dark, and Holy shit. The facial hair only makes it worse. I mean, what a bad.
You know what they say? 300 looks like a phantom until a phantom shows up. And that's what you deal with NFL athletes. They're always in great shape, especially the quarterbacks. They always are bigger, natural. They're every way. Their shoulders are broader, even though they're still trim. They're freaks of nature. And putting them on TV is great because you get to see the freaks of nature. And you're almost doing the Simpsons bit where, all right, I want a small guy and a little and a big guy, and I want another big guy and another small guy to make the small guys look smaller and the big guys look even bigger. So I understand this, but boy, it's something about the slick back hair where it's not too long, but it's well kept. The jaw,
he's in mid-season form. He's in mid-season form already.
He's not even flexing his jaw, and you could see everything, the whole line.
How much would you kill to be able to wear a light colored suit like that? Do you know? I would look like Oswald Cobblepot if I wore a suit like that. It's got to be black. Everything's black, shirt black, jacket black, tie black for me.
I've had this. This is a wedding invitation I've had, and it's happening in I think 2 months just about. I can't pull off a light suit jacket. I'm going navy on navy, and I might go navy undershirt also. There's no shot.
You should wear a navy beanie. You should wear navy socks. You should join the Navy. That'd be the best thing for you to do. Don't show up in a fucking light colored suit.
Show up in the navy whites. Okay, now we're making an impression.
Oh, boy. All right, leave a 5-star review. We are going to be on every Monday and every Thursday all season long. Make sure you tweet Sal's and tell him thank you so much for coming on the program. What's your weekend schedule look like for viewing, Tor? I'm locked in front of all these games. I got the viewing party tonight at Monk's. I hope I see some of you out there. Friday night, thought I was going to do Solid Dudes. That might be up in the air because I forgot there's a fucking game. And then all day Sunday. You got any big plans?
It's going to be a tremendous amount of couch rot, I think. Saturday, there's some big college football games. Michigan, Texas, going to watch that. It's going to be boring as shit. The fun one that on Saturday is Nebraska, Colorado, because that rivalry is now reinvigorated with Colorado re-entering the Big 12. So some of that classic traditional rivalry is coming back. That'll be a fun one to watch. And then Saturday, it's going to be, I think, one TV Red Zone, one TV Atlanta, and whatever else is going on. We've capitulated to YouTube, the YouTube TV overlords, but they do have the split screen availability. So I'm going to get as many games on the TV as I can.
I'm actually going to start spreading my beach blanket out the second that this show is done. I'm going to spread a giant beach blanket out in front of the TV so I can just arc load after load after load. Then it ends with Aaron Rodgers just going into San Francisco and sticking it to the 49ers and turning the fucking Mike Florio. You'll actually hear the sound of him digging a hole in his backyard. All right. Very good. Leave us a 5-star review. Go follow us on social media and go long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long. Nice toss.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend. We'll be right back.